Well, it looks like that wicked winter air is setting in.
And you know how washing up in winter can leave your hands drier than Rick Perry's hooses on a Saturday night.
Well, friend, fret no more. Whip your dry skin into shape
with whoop-ass hand balm from Bubble Genius.
Them good folks over at Bubble Genius have loaded up their whoop-ass with a whole mess of nature's goodies.
Like genuine shea butter and sweet almond oil.
Citrus extracts and sage.
Which are wonderful for healing and fixing your skin right up.
This here ain't no sissy hand balm. This here's some serious stuff.
So if long days out on the range are leaving your skin tighter than socks on a rooster,
then it sure is time to open a can of whoop-ass.
By the by, this stuff's great on rough elbows.
And knees, too. Hear that, Mitch McConnell?
Check out the entire line of whoop-ass products, including body whip and soap, at BubbleGenius.com.
Bubble Genius. Y'all suds up now, you hear?
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Good evening, everybody. This is Archie Bunker of 704 Hauser Street, veteran of the big war, speaking on behalf of Guns for Everybody. Now, question. What was the first thing that the communists done when they took over in Russia? Answer, gun control. And there's a lot of people in this country who want to do the same thing to us here in a kind of conspiracy, see. You take your big international bankers, they want to, masticate the people of this here nation like puppets on a wing. And then when they get that done, they turn us over to the communists.
Oh, Archie, I'm glad they put you on a stool. You look taller sitting down.
Now, I want to talk about another thing that's on everybody's mind today, and that's your stick-ups and your skyjackers, which, if that was up to me, I could end the skyjackers tomorrow.
You could?
All you gotta do is arm all your passengers.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Radio goes with life. A salt and pepper, a fork and knife. Radio goes with life.
When that wind happened, it was like a bad wind thing going on.
Hold on, wait a minute, what bad wind?
In America, they had that.
Hurricane Katrina?
Yeah.
Right.
And there was like a little bay with dolphins in it. And
right.
With all guns on and stuff.
Whoa.
Because they use dolphins, don't they? They say they're intelligent animal and stuff.
Yeah.
And they've got them all like, you know, they've all had the training, they're all like ready for battle and stuff.
Right.
Got like rifles on them.
What do you mean rifles? How can they hold a rifle?
No, it's sort of on a strap and that.
What do you mean it's on a strap?
I don't know what they kit them out with, but they're just ready for war.
What are you talking about?
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Thursday, January 10th, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob. That is Chez. We're brought to you, as always, by BubbleGenius.com. Gotta tell you, I think that Bubble Genius commercial, the whoop-ass hand bomb Bubble Genius commercial, is my favorite of all of the Bubble Genius commercials.
Separates that one?
I don't know. For some reason, hearing Paula and Sarah do that country yickadoo voice was cracking me up. That's one where you could just say, Paula's just like, yeah, gotta put on that ham bomb on your elbows. I don't know why. It's funny hearing them do those voices.
They need to do the Carl voice from Sling Blade.
Right. French fried taters.
And then just the random bullwhip crack. It's just cracking you. Hey, anyway, by the way, you know, Carl Pilkington was exactly right about the dolphins with the guns attached to their heads. There's an actual news story in Wired. The program reportedly included training dolphins to search for mines and marking them with buoys. But Ukraine also plans to train dolphins to attack enemy combat swimmers using special knives or pistols fixed to their heads.
So basically bang sticks, in other words.
Yeah.
Do you know what a bang stick is?
Yeah, what? It's just that you hit it against something and it fires.
Yeah, exactly. It's used to kill sharks. It's got a shotgun charge in it.
And you actually smack them with the stick.
Right, and that'll take down most decent-sized sharks. It's pretty fun. Go like look on YouTube and like I think you can look up like sharks being hit with bang sticks or something. And I hate to say it, but the video's a riot because it's like, you know, the shark just like spirals to the bottom.
It's horrible.
It's horrible of me. Totally horrible of me, but it is pretty cool to see.
It's horrible. What you know, what state just banned shark fins? I think Illinois.
It's a completely inland state, isn't it?
Yeah, it's completely landlocked, except for the right. Lake Michigan, Illinois. Yeah.
Excuse me, by the way, because I'm one of the 80 billion people currently living in the United States who has the flu,
yeah.
including Sarah and Paula, by the way.
Yeah, I think everyone I know has the flu, except for me. I feel quite lucky that I've escaped it. Yeah, I just don't get it. I've never got the flu. I get colds where it knocks me off my feet for a couple of days, and then subsequently for about a week, I end up going through 10 boxes of tissues a day. But I mean, beyond that, I don't really get. And that only happens. I hate to brag because everyone I know has the flu, and they're all going to be like "F you," and they're going to send me nasty emails. I only really get a cold maybe once every year or two. Maybe it's been recently. It's since I quit smoking in 2007. I've gotten colds much less. Like maybe once every 2 years.
This is the sickest I've been in a while. I mean, it's the longest lasting. I'm trying to think. The last time I got this sick, I think I was still working for CNN. Where Jesus. I remember being out of work for like a week because it was so bad.
Yeah, and it's a special flu bug. It's extra serious flu bug that's immune to the vaccinations.
I don't know.
And all
it seems to be pretty ugly. I mean, a lot of people have it. It's just I got a really 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 high fever and just felt like hell starting last weekend. And the fever's kind of subsided. It comes and goes a little bit once in a while now, but I mean, yeah, I'm still weak and I feel like hell. I've got sinus pressure and yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, you know, come to think of it, the last time I was sick was 2 years ago, almost to the day. Because I flew back, I was in Hawaii, then flew back to the mainland, and it was, the dead of winter, which I'm fully prepared to do that when we head to Tennessee next month. I'm gonna hit Tennessee. I'm going to hit the ground on the East Coast. It's going to be, 4 degrees, and I'm just going to drop over sick. I'm just going to be like,
don't remind me,
like that guy, like in Outbreak, the guy in the airplane. I forget the actor's name, but he sits down on the airplane.
They're going to be peeling back your head like Gwyneth Paltrow in the first 5 minutes of Contagion.
Right.
Peeling back your skull.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know what? I also wanted to mention, too, we're not only brought to you by Bubble Genius, but we're also brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. It's right there on the main page of BobSeska.com in the upper right-hand corner. It says, you can't miss it. It's big capital letters. It says Amazon. If you click that link and you go do all of your shopping at Amazon, it just takes you to the main page of Amazon, except it attaches a small bit of code so that everything you purchase at Amazon, we get a little bit of a piece of that. We get a piece of that action. So, and by we, I mean
that's
I.
Right. We're also sponsored by the Ches Pazienza link at youngasiansluts.com.
Well, so anyway.
A little something extra they gave me because of extended use. You can bleep that. It's okay. Yeah.
No, that's okay. That's going to be in the show. So what do we got? Just it's been a huge week of news. I guess first and foremost, there was another school shooting. I mean, you talk about a convergence that almost needed to happen, but it was tragic that it did. Right in the middle of Joe Biden talking on television about his task force, his gun control task force, announcing that he's ready to release the findings and the recommendations on Tuesday. Right in the middle, CNN breaks into that coverage to tell us that there's been another school shooting.
Right, but see, is that really a coincidence? I think not.
Oh, yeah.
It's obviously, the Obama administration is engineering these school shootings to be able to come along and take our guns, just like Castro and Mao and Stalin. And I don't know, crap, that idiot Alex Jones said.
We're going to be talking about Alex Jones and playing a couple of tapes.
Freaking idiot
later.
Lunatic that guy is.
He really is. He really is. And we got to get into that dichotomy between, is he a lunatic or is he an actor? And there's a fine line between the two when it comes to Alex Jones. Well, we'll talk about that in a bit. But I mean, this shooting, it wasn't obviously as serious as Sandy Hook. I think there was
somewhere. It's in California somewhere, right?
Yeah, it was at Taft High School in Taft, California.
I don't know where the hell that is.
It's the most obese of all the towns in California.
That's right, exactly. Yes, it's the most obese high school in the United States.
Yeah, yeah. And what happened was, I guess, a gunman went
bigger,
in.
Bigger targets.
The shooter was one of the students and shot another student and then injured, I believe, and reports are still coming in, but I believe is a teacher who decided not to go to the hospital. I don't think they were really seriously wounded. I think they were just injured in some way, like, I don't know, like a bullet grazed them or something like that. But the one kid was medevaced out, and he was in pretty serious condition, but his condition has been upgraded, and so it's a little better. But the
if only the other kid had had a gun.
Well, you know what? There was a sheriff's deputy patrolling the school on a regular basis, and he was there. He was there at the school. Obviously did nothing. So another NRA argument flies out the window. Big surprise there. But, I mean, they had an armed guard at the school. And yet a guy still came in. So not only is the armed guard ineffectual in terms of actually disarming or stopping the shooting as it's happening, but it's clearly ineffectual as a deterrent. I mean, what student isn't going to know that there's an armed guard at the school? Or maybe the student did know, and it's going to be a rootin' tootin' Wild West shootout at the OK Corral.
Right.
But in this case, you know, the cafeteria.
Right. If I knew where the armed guard was and I were a school shooter, and I know this will sound disgusting, but it's true, if I were some crazy guy, you know, armed with an assault rifle, and I knew where the armed guard was, guess what? You kill him first.
That's right.
And I guarantee you, you can surprise him and kill him.
It creates an environment where you basically turn the schools into an arms race.
Mm-hmm.
Where the more police officers and security officials you post there with guards, then, you know, the next shooter's going to come in with a bunch of his buddies. And then, or more weapons. You know, or explosives. Or something to overwhelm, because they're just going to want to do it. And so there's no way to there's no logical way to repel that. You basically turn an area for learning and filled with children into a war zone.
Right.
With those children in the crossfire.
Well, the argument I have that, you know, John Stewart's thing on it a couple nights ago on gun control was really, really good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, basically the point is, Megan McArdle made the same point. I mean, I love it when people do this, when they essentially say that, well, you know what, there's nothing that can really be done, so we're just not going to do anything. It's like, no, sorry, that's not an excuse. Something can be done. There are steps that can be taken across a wide variety of, a wide variety of sort of facets of this subject.
And the mistake is that somehow it's going, you know, that people who are in favor of gun control, you and I and everyone else who, you know, wants to do some take some serious action in the wake of Sandy Hook, you know, that we somehow want to eliminate all violent crime. And that
right. this, we want this to eliminate all violent crime. We want to take away all guns, which is crap. Again, I will say it for the millionth time. I own a gun. Mm-hmm. You know, I am not against the idea of responsible gun ownership.
That's
at
right.
all.
And
but something's got to be done. Something has to change. Sensible gun control should never be off the table. And Wayne LaPierre has his head up his ass.
Well, I should revise what I said. It would be great to eliminate all violent crime. It just by controlling firearms and regulating them the way they ought to be, it's not going to eliminate all violent crime. It's going to mitigate the problem in a serious way, as it did in Australia, as it has done in the UK. You're gonna reduce the amount of gun crime, and why not? Why not do that?
Well, because you're infringing on my right to have any kind of gun humanly that you know that's ever been made by man.
Mm-hmm. And
I think that's the thing. You know, it's a fine argument. It's a fine sort of a slightly logical argument to say, well, really, you know, the difference between say an assault rifle and a regular rifle is really in more ways than anything else, kind of just the way it looks. I can understand that argument, but the bottom line is you don't have a right to an assault rifle. You
That's
don't.
Right. Yeah.
You don't. Nobody said that the right to keep and bear arms means that you get to arm yourself with military-grade weaponry.
That's right. That's right. And it's the,
you don't have a right. Screw you. I'm not stepping on your rights because you don't have that damn right.
If you play out the logic in that argument, that's where it goes. That's where it goes. The point where, you know, you got guys insisting, well, the Second Amendment includes RPGs. The Second Amendment
that's it,
includes...
That's it exactly. Again, that was Stewart's thing. He's like, you can't own a surface-to-air anything. Mm-hmm.
That's right. I mean, you
can't has to be a line. You know, the arms can be anything now. And, you know, and again, God, I keep going back to this, just the entire idea that the Constitution was written by people and during a time by people who suffered from an understandable but very serious lack of imagination.
That's right.
They couldn't even have fathomed the kind of weaponry that we have now. Not on their best day.
Yeah. I mean, for all...
Not the most clever thinker among the founding fathers could have come up with an AR-15 assault rifle.
That's right. And, you know, for all of their quality, I don't think very few of them were futurists.
Exactly.
Ensconced in what kind of technology is going to be around 250 years hence.
Yeah. There were no Carl Sagans there.
Definitely not. By the way, on the after party, we're going to be talking about some technology. I just want to throw that in because there's some really cool stuff they're working on right now, both in terms of video games and in terms of space travel. I'm going to talk about that later. But let's talk about Biden for a second. Biden revealed at least a little bit of what he plans to recommend to the president. The president, I'm sure, already knows, but. What's going to be made public on Tuesday, a series of recommendations. He's gone through a lot of discussion. They're going to recommend closing down the gun show loophole, and that's a big deal.
It's about freaking time.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
Definitely high-capacity magazines. In fact, Biden said, I've never heard so much talk about high-capacity magazines. Biden went beyond the gun show loophole, saying he had heard a lot about, quote, universal background checks during private sales. Should that and the magazine ban make it to the final White House package, expect both to garner serious opposition from gun rights groups like the National Rifle Association. I mean, really, what they ought to do is start, and I'm repeating myself here, but what they ought to do is start with Australia and work towards something that kind of resembles the regulations you put on cars and drivers right now.
Well, the reason why is it comes down to the fact that the real reason why these people, the true gun nuts, not the average responsible gun owner, but the true gun nuts, the reason that they feel that they need to own these kinds of weapons and they should be able to have as many as they want is because they need to defend against the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
Against, you know, again, as Stewart put it, the sort of coming dystopia.
Yeah.
This paranoid delusion that they have about what's to come. And therefore, their thought process is anything imposed by the government against guns basically, A, proves their point, and B, will stand in the way of them being able to use their guns against the government later on.
Yeah.
You know, well, we don't want to register them. Because if we register them, then the government knows where our guns are and they can come take them. Yeah, it's complete, it's babbling insanity.
We're going to talk about Alex Jones coming up in just a few minutes, but we're also going to get to Jack Lew, some of the new secretary, the new cabinet appointments, Chris Christie, and some more firearm talk. Quick break, back after this.
Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Kind of appropriate.
Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Love Tesla.
You know, I just made a playlist of my top 200 favorite songs of all time in iTunes.
Tesla in there?
Tesla's definitely in there. This song.
I like the song a lot. They're great. They were a good metal band.
Yeah. So there was this, I don't know if you saw the story about this firearms training company's CEO.
Oh my God, I love him. That guy, oh, I want to buy him a fruit basket and a kitten. Big kitten.
An employee with Tactical Response, the Tennessee Fire. Oh, it's Tennessee.
Of course. Tennessee. We'll see him. Be careful. Seriously, we better talk.
That's right. He'll be right behind us at the bar when we have our meetup. in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Right, the guy who looks like he looks like freaking Kerry King from Slayer.
He really, really does. He's an employee with Tactical Response, a Tennessee firearm training company, making headlines this week thanks to a video posted by CEO James Yeager. James Yeager says if the president goes forward with his task force to prevent gun violence, the gun control legislation that's coming up, he's going to, quote unquote, I'm going to start killing people.
Ain't that great?
Isn't that great?
Racial holy war. Piece of crap.
Let's see. Yeager's comments come in the midst of amped up conservative rhetoric over the executive order plan. It's the president talking about doing some things that are within his power constitutionally to regulate guns.
Right. But this idiot says he's a dictator. Of course.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Including
I just look at this guy and all I think the same thing every time one of these mouths off. It's, you know what, and I know you'll have to bleep the hell out of this, but it's like, you got nothing. If they take your guns away, you got nothing.
Well, they're down.
You're such a pretend tough guy.
They're down to Godwin's law, and that's been the phrase that can best describe what's been happening over the last week or so.
Yeah, everybody's Hitler.
Everything comes down to Hitler and Stalin and Mao.
Right. Hitler Mao took the guns.
And Mao's like, what the hell, man? These guys were terrible. Mao's like the third tier. Mao's like the Zeppo of the 20th
exactly.
century dictator.
Pol Pot.
Reached Thursday, an employee at Tactical Response told Talking Points Memo the company would not be issuing a separate response to the video. So they're just going to let it go. It's good for business.
Sure, why not?
Good for business.
Of course, yeah.
Well, it's Tactical Response, a firearms training company.
You know, I really miss the days. Like, I love the internet. The things it's brought to us, it's incredible. I truly believe the internet to be like one of the wonders of the world, you know, tacked onto all the other wonders of the world that we know of from history. It just really, as a place, as an institution, as a creation, it's truly an amazing thing. But dear God, there are times when I'm like, I wish it would all just go away and go back to the way it used to be when every freaking idiot didn't have a democratized voice of the same volume.
Yeah, yeah. It's messy. It's there's certainly a very, very messy aspect about free speech.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm all for free speech, but, you know, years ago, they had to seek each other out, and it was really difficult. And now every moron who's got an opinion can voice that crap on the internet, and somehow, you know, we wind up talking about that person.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the conundrum. I mean, that's what I was talking about. I wrote a piece about Alex Jones. What do? Do you give them coverage, or do you ignore them and hope they go away?
That is a very tough call. Yeah. I agree. And you know how for a long time I felt like, look, the best thing to do is to just let it go. But I mean, the Alex Jones thing is so funny that it's worth showing off to everybody. I mean, it just really is. Everyone needs to see that. Because even if he's BSing, and he's completely faking it, and he's nothing more than a carnival barker. I mean, it's just people need to see that this is what the people who are the truly diehard gun crazies are listening to.
That's
this is
right.
what they believe. This insane black helicopters, New World Order crap.
That's right. And he's become, and Alex Jones, we're going to get into this more deeply in the final segment of the show, but Alex Jones has become sort of the spokesman now. I mean, he's like the go-to guy for the gun control crowd. I mean, he so thoroughly encapsulated everything they believe into those 14 minutes on Piers Morgan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, you know, when I put the video up, it was the YouTube clip that I put up was actually posted originally by a guy whose screen name was Save Our Sovereignty. And his icon, his screen, you know, profile icon was a Ron Paul logo. Like,
oh,
need
God.
I say more?
Yeah.
There it is. Perfect.
Yeah.
Right, because, you know, because they're the chemtrails, man. The chemtrails are coming for us.
Meanwhile, Chris Christie.
Yeah, you really have a bug up your ass about Chris Christie.
You know, I'm tired of liberals being duped by their better nature. I mean, they just, we so desperately want to wrap our arms around the enemy. We so desperately want to find that Republican that we can vote for. And then suddenly we're, you know, we're not lockstep. We're not a rank and file liberal because there's that Republican that we reached out to and we cast our ballot for that guy because he seems like the reasonable. He seems like the real thing. And Chris Christie is that guy. It used to be John McCain. Used to be Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani. There were liberals after 9/11.
We're the old guy. We're the old guy in the road warrior who wants to go out and talk to Lord Humongous because he seems reasonable. I'm going to go out there and talk to Lord Humongous. He seems reasonable.
He seems reasonable.
Exactly. Yeah,
he's
it.
A reasonable
that's who we are.
Man. That's right. That's so perfect. That is exactly right. That is exactly right. Damn it.
And meanwhile, I will give you safe passage to the wasteland.
That's so great. That's
just
so
walk away.
Just walk away. And he ends up, like, you know, crucified on the back
of
someone's
crucifying
car,
with you guys.
You know. Jeez. But Chris Christie is just that kind of Trojan horse. We want to wrap our arms around him because he was Mr. Straight Talking Maverick a few times. And I commend him for that.
And I do like that about him. Yeah. I do. I said from the beginning, I don't like his policies. There are a lot of policies of his that I absolutely don't like. But yeah, I mean, look, his willingness to. It's just sad that that's where the bar has been lowered. Mm-hmm. The bar has been lowered to the point where if anybody is willing to at least look at his party, at the Republican Party, and say, look, you guys suck. I'm a part of you, but you're screwing this up. It's sad to think that alone is a big deal.
Yeah.
And yet it is.
Well, and you got to talk about this too, because what he did in that press conference was criticize the least popular House of Representatives in the history of Congress.
That's true. It doesn't take that much effort.
He really wasn't stepping out on a limb.
You did
one.
See that PPP poll this week, right?
Yes, I did. Where Chris
was that brilliant.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part of it was Congress is less popular than carnies.
Less popular than Nickelback.
Nickelback was good, and Donald Trump was good, and France was good enough, but carnies was the one that really made me laugh.
More about Chris Christie after a break for Bubble Genius back after this. Oh, boy, I get to hear the hilarious whoop-ass hand bomb commercial again. BubbleGenius.com, the best bath and body products on the internet. They're vegan, they're woman-owned, they're liberal. Everything you could possibly want in terms of an online retailer. You go there, you buy all of your stuff, you're going to feel good, you're going to smell good, you're going to be invariably clean. Go to Bubble Genius and buy all your stuff. Here's the latest word from Bubble Genius.
Well, it looks like that wicked winter air is setting in.
And you know how washing up in winter can leave your hands drier than Rick Perry's hooses on a Saturday night.
Well, friend, fret no more. Whip your dry skin into shape
with whoop-ass hand balm from Bubble Genius.
Them good folks over at Bubble Genius have loaded up their whoop-ass with a whole mess of nature's goodies.
Like genuine shea butter and sweet almond oil.
Citrus extracts and sage.
Which are wonderful for healing and fixing your skin right up.
This here ain't no sissy hand balm. This here's some serious stuff.
So if long days out on the range are leaving your skin tighter than socks on a rooster,
then it sure is time to open a can of whoop-ass.
By the by, this stuff's great on rough elbows.
And knees, too. Hear that, Mitch McConnell?
Check out the entire line of whoop-ass products, including body whip and soap, at BubbleGenius.com.
Bubble Genius. Y'all suds up now, you hear?
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And your promo code is Bob and Chez, BobAndChez. Put that in when you go to check out at BubbleGenius.com and you'll get 15% off everything you buy in your shopping cart there. So back to Chris Christie. I thought when you initially said about the PPP poll, Chez, I thought you were talking about the one in which they determined that Chris Christie is more popular among Democrats than with Republicans.
Oh no, I did see that one too. No, I'll go for the funny one first. Yeah.
Christie's overall favorability is 51% to 23, but his plus 29 standing with Democrats, 52 to 23, is higher than his plus 21 with GOP voters, 48 to 27. He's most popular with independent
voters. That's actually what I said. Didn't I say that last week? That's what was going to wind up happening?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you could tell because if you look at the 2016 outlook in terms of the some of the early polling, the really, really early polling, that Chris Christie is, I think, third or fourth for 2016 among the Republicans. But he's actually doing better. His overall net favorability is better than Hillary Clinton's, which indicates that he's getting a lot of support from Democrats.
Hmm.
Got to stop it. Here he was this week, asked about gun control on the Today Show. Chris Christie just completely hedged. He was asked whether he supports a ban on assault weapons, and he said that it depends. These are complicated issues, he says. I'm willing to have that conversation. But we don't allow, then he went off on video games. He said, we don't allow video games in our house. We think it desensitizes children to all the effects of violence. So he's basically taking the NRA position. Like,
I'm not going to, we won't have video games in our house. We will, however, have, gigantic assault rifles designed to mow down a bunch of people at one time.
Well, yeah, and on top of that, he has a record of resisting gun control measures. I mean, he famously opposed one that before he was governor. Before he was governor, John Corzine wanted to sign a bill that would limit your firearm purchases to one per month. I mean, do you really need more guns than one per month? And Chris Christie was against that legislation. He was against it. He said, there are more important things than making sure people in New Jersey can't buy more than one gun a month. It's absurd. So, so he's not your best friend. He's not your best friend. Everyone's going to vote for him because he's a maverick. And then suddenly they were going to learn that it's basically like George W. Bush part two with, with a 50-inch waist or whatever it is. Anyway. So some new cabinet members on the horizon. Jack Lew is evidently going to be the new Treasury Secretary. If he's been the chief of staff. You wonder, how could anyone possibly be the chief of staff for any longer than a couple of months without dropping dead of a heart attack? Well, this guy's been chief of staff, and now he's going to go do arguably the most difficult job in the entire cabinet, which is going to be Treasury Secretary. And you know what's good enough for me? The CNBC guys hate him. The spazzy white guys in Lower Manhattan hate Jack
Lew. That's good.
Yeah. And so do the Republicans. And that's good enough for me. That's all you need to know about Jack Lew.
I think CNBC is still located out of Fort Lee, New Jersey, by the way.
Is it really?
Unless they moved everything up to 30 Rock. But for a long time, that's where it was. It was Fort Lee. It was across the river.
I remember seeing a studio somewhere down there. But
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I honestly don't watch a lot of CNBC. Yeah. But I know that when I – this is a while ago, so they probably moved since then. But, yeah, when I worked there years ago, CNBC was based out of Fort Lee.
Okay. So the spazzy white guys in North Jersey.
There you go. Exactly. Yes. Right over the George Washington Bridge.
Spazzy white guys in the Meadowlands.
Pretty much, yeah.
And it looks like Chuck Hagel is going to be the new Secretary of Defense. And, I'm kind of ambivalent on Hagel as a guy, as a Republican. What I don't get is why there's this emerging trend that the Secretary of Defense needs to be a military veteran and a Republican.
I like that it puts the Republicans in a difficult position. I like to think of the choice being based around, not just who's best for the job, but that as well.
Yeah. Well, he's certainly going to get confirmed, and I think plenty of Republicans are going to vote for him to confirm him.
They have to.
But it's just this idea that we have to have Republicans. I mean, this will be the second Obama Secretary of Defense to be a Republican. I don't want this trend to start where we feel like, we got to have daddy, running the Pentagon. Got to have Republicans running the Pentagon because they're the war guys. They're the tough military. They're the sentinels up on the wall guarding us from the evildoers. Liberals can do that just fine. We're just as good at doing that sort of stuff too. Oh, this is we're going to have to break in a minute, and maybe I should give more time to this. Maybe I don't. I don't really need to. We missed it last week. Just as we were recording the shows last week, John Boehner cried again.
Oh yeah.
Have you heard this yet? This is not.
I actually haven't. I heard that he did, but no, I didn't see it.
It's not quite as good as some of his previous.
Heard that blubbering idiot started up again.
I've become sort of an aficionado of John Boehner crying. I'm like collecting tapes of John Boehner crying now.
It's great stuff.
There's something about it that just makes me laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh.
Well, that's because you're a bully.
So funny. It's, maybe I am. Maybe I'm just a bully.
You are.
But whenever John Boehner starts crying, just makes me laugh. And we're gonna play the latest tape after a quick break. Back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
This was also a song in my top 200. The Eurythmics and I Saved the World Today.
Oh, okay.
Another great song.
I was going to say, are you starting up your 70s TV show theme song thing again?
This is a great song. You know, David Chase used this at the end of probably was the best season of The Sopranos. It was the end of the episode in which Tony finally killed Big Pussy.
Oh yeah,
and then that song was playing because it looked like Carmella was going to leave him and everything. Then everything turned out okay because Pussy was dead. So John Boehner crying. We've had previous tapes on the show and they're all just funny
about the fact that I've been chasing. The American dream my whole career. There's some things that are very difficult to talk about. Family, kids. I can't go to a school anymore. I used to go to a lot of schools. And you see all these little kids running around. Can't talk about it.
Why?
Making sure that these kids have a shot at the American dream. My God.
God.
So that's one of the previous tapes.
Just what a buffoon.
And you know, I mean,
I don't have a problem with guys who cry.
Yeah.
I do it. It's not a big deal, but Jesus, it's like
in public.
He cries over the dumbest things.
All the time. Yeah.
This melodramatic crap. And the funny thing is, most of it is so self-serving. Like, I can't believe I have the opportunity to do this. How far I've come. And it's all me.
That's right. I mean, he's notoriously, he loves to drink. He loves his Merlot or whatever it is. And he drinks a lot. And, you know, I bet his staff just keeps him the hell away from anything that resembles a handheld device. Because if he had like a Facebook account or like a Twitter account, he would be all over like the emotional drunk tweets and the emotional drunk Facebook posts. You've seen these, right? Where people just, they have a bit too much to drink and then they take to Facebook and then it's like, I love you. I love all of my friends. You know, it's that kind of thing. And I
so we broke up. It's okay. I have my new boyfriend, a pint of Haagen-Dazs.
Well, here's the new tape of John Boehner crying. This was his big speech at the start of the 113th Congress. This is on the floor of the House of Representatives.
Public service was never meant to be an easy living. Extraordinary challenges demand extraordinary leadership. So if you've come here to see your name in the lights or to pass off a political victory as some accomplishment, you've come to the wrong place. The door is right behind you. You come here humbled by the opportunity to serve. If you've come here to be the determined voice of the people, if you've come here to carry the standard of leadership demanded not by our constituents but by the times, then you've come to the right place.
He's drunk.
Yeah, the pauses.
He's drunk.
Every pause, he stops.
You know how you get emotional like the morning after you've drank a lot.
Yeah.
Like you wake up and it's really early and like you know you're still kind of hungover and so you got that like I do that. I know a lot of people who do that who get that way. Like somehow after drinking a lot, you're just really sort of emotional. It's like every night for him must be just complete drunken abandon.
So when he was pausing too, he was doing this. He's got this new mouth thing that he does when he's. When he's crying, or his mouth almost becomes like Popeye's mouth, where it's like the one half of his mouth gets like really like jittery and his lip quivers.
Exactly.
And,
exactly,
and that's what he was doing during those pauses. I don't know why. I don't know why. I wish I knew why. There's got to be some psychology to why that just makes me laugh and clap my hands with delight. Hearing John Boehner crying. Because these guys, you know what's funny about it and ironic is that, like I said, these guys are considered the great guardians. The guardians on the Citadel. Keeping us safe. And
God
this guy.
Bless him. I'm so glad they're there.
Third in line for the presidency, right? And he's
feeling it when Colonel Nathan Jessup said, "You want me on that wall and need me on that wall." He wasn't talking about a blubbering idiot like John Boehner.
Well, it's either John Boehner or this guy, Alex Jones. Now, Alex Jones was on Piers Morgan on CNN the other night, and it was
in one of the greatest interviews in television history.
It really was, and not only was it the things he was saying, but it was how he was saying them. That I reached the conclusion that, boy, this is fantastic. If this guy is now the spokesman for the gun fetishists, the pro-gun movement, the Second Amendment people, please, more. Because he is absolutely a circus clown. He is absolutely a cartoon character. And there was no better example than when he said this.
The guns, the iron rods, Pierce, didn't do it. The tyrants did it. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand? That's why you're going to fail, and the establishment knows, no matter how much propaganda, the Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns. My family in the Texas Revolution against Santa Anna, my family was at the core on both sides starting that because Santa Anna came to take the guns at Gonzales, Texas. Pierce, don't try what your ancestors did before. Why don't you come to America? I'll take you out shooting. You can become an American and join the Republic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
right.
By
shooting, because that's the most important thing to be an American. Freaking jackass.
The irony of Alex Jones right now is that he wants to, and he's organized a petition for the government to deport Piers Morgan, which, in fact, you know, because Alex Jones wraps himself in the Constitution, especially that big Second Amendment, this would actually violate two clauses in the First Amendment. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press, to have the government. Now, we're not talking about Alex Jones saying, let's boycott CNN or let's boycott Piers Morgan. Alex Jones is petitioning the government to do it. So much for the Constitution.
Sure.
This is another good clip of Alex Jones. This is when Alex Jones, this is about, I would say, 75% into the interview. This is about halfway through segment two of the interview. When Alex Jones just, he's got nothing else, so he just starts mocking Piers Morgan.
So the Bush administration was part of a conspiracy.
Well, he said never let us tolerate
to murder Americans. I can speak in this accent as well.
Yeah.
The government, Hitler firebombed his own Reichstag, Pierce, to bring in martial law in Germany, April 27th, 1933. Governments have staged terror attacks throughout history or allowed terrorists to attack.
He just keeps going.
What a douchebag. He's just, oh my God.
He's not
the least bit worth taking seriously.
Yeah. Because he's a performance artist. And that's why I was sort of scratching my head. Now, do I get into this about Alex Jones? Or is he just so unserious that he's better left to just hang himself? And so I was kind of glad that Piers Morgan didn't say a whole lot. Because he didn't have to.
No, of course not. It's another one of those, go on, Governor, proceed.
Please proceed,
you know, it's
Governor.
Please proceed. It's one of those moments where it's like, you know, look, I'm just going to sit here and let you talk. You know, as a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, after the big first rant there, I think Piers basically just said, are you done? You know, I mean, that's right. It was a perfect answer.
Mm-hmm. And he, you know, what's fantastic about it, too, is that he didn't really have any significant insight. He didn't have that, pardon the pun, that magic bullet that'll make people go, yeah, you know what? The pro-gun people have a point. All Alex Jones did was scream the same horse crap that you can find anywhere else online and have been able to find. I played that clip from All in the Family in 1974. They were writing.
Nothing's changed.
They wrote a script for Archie Bunker in which he was saying almost the exact same things. Stalin got the guns and Hitler got the guns. And here's what we should do. We should arm passengers on the airplane and we should arm school teachers. It's all the same ideas. It's all the same ridiculous, ridiculous solutions. And that's all Alex Jones was saying. And then he just started... just started mocking Piers Morgan.
It's great like because when you first played that clip at the beginning, I really thought that was Boston Mayor Thomas Menino. Have you ever heard him talk?
Yeah. Well, you know, he also there's another thing about Alex Jones. He sounds a little bit like Sam Kinison. He's got like a Kinison.
He does. He does absolutely. Yeah.
And it's very clear too. And this is obviously a matter of Alex Jones consulting with his physician. But I've heard people who have severe throat polyps before. I've heard them speak. And Alex Jones sounds like he's got some medical issues to attend to.
Well, look, I mean, again, Alex Jones, whether he's serious in what he says or he's just doing it because it's made him at least a small amount of money and brought him some fame. I mean, there's nothing about him worth taking seriously. A lot of what he had to say was like, it's funny because that didn't even scratch the surface of the insane conspiracy theories that this guy throws out. I mean, really, chemtrails and, you know, the Trilateral Commission and black helicopters. I mean, it's just one stupid conspiracy theory after another.
Yeah. And the George W. Bush administration orchestrated
9/11. Right. And 9/11 is, you know, was an inside job. It's like, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what he was talking about at the beginning of that clip, too, when he started into the British accent. It's insane. Oh, and by the way, the Hitler gun thing that he was talking about, Hitler taking the guns away, that's a lie. That's a complete myth. It was the Weimar government had already passed gun registration laws prior to the Nazis coming to power. And then what Hitler did is he actually used that law in 1938 to restrict gun ownership for Jews and non-citizens. And I could probably find more than a few conservatives who would probably like...
I was just going to say. I'll bet the conservatives that eat that crap up. Now the immigrants and Jews don't get guns.
Yeah, that's right. I bet conservatives would get behind a law that prevented illegal immigrants, undocumented workers... from getting firearms. I bet they could get behind that.
Yep. Come over to here. Learn to be a real American. We'll teach you how to shoot. In fact, we'll put you out at the end of the range, and you can be our target.
Here's one last clip of Alex Jones. Whoops.
When a mother chops her kids up with a cleaver because she's on serotonin...
Tell me why I'm wrong.
Why don't you want to get rid of the drugs? Because they're half your sponsors?
Stick to the subject.
America's number one cause of unnatural death now is suicide. Okay. Not let's automobile accident, not cancer, not...
You listen, accuse me of attacking the Second Amendment of the Constitution.
I want to get people off pills that the insert says will make you commit suicide and kill people.
Alex, let's get about the Second
Amendment. I want to blame the real culprit.
Alex.
Suicide pills.
Alex.
Mass murder pills.
Okay, let me ask you one...
It's so funny to me. Mass murder pills.
It is. It's great. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Nobody could.
He sounds like Yosemite Sam.
He does.
He sounds like Yosemite Sam. I think this is the one. Does this end with Piers? I think this ends with Piers Morgan saying, "Are you finished?" Whoops! Stop. I played all of my tapes right there. I think it does.
Mass murder pills.
Okay, let me ask you one question.
Oh no, that one doesn't. Maybe it's this one. I just got it. Just did it again.
Guns. We don't like it. The communists.
I don't know what's going on here. My tapes just, it doesn't matter. My tapes just aren't.
Yeah, it just, honestly, all those tapes played together, that pretty much sounds like Alex Jones.
Yeah, this was Alex Jones. That's every tape I have.
Yep. Nothing but noise.
Okay. So right. Alex Jones, please keep going, sir. Please proceed, Governor. Meanwhile, 2012, and this almost got buried under all of the other news. 2012 turned out to be the hottest year ever. Hottest year ever. You would have to be, anyone, I think it's anyone younger than 27 years old.
That's because of the all-star season of RuPaul's Drag Race. whatever.
Anyone
I was reaching there. I tried.
Anyone younger than age 27 has never seen a lower than average temperature in a single month. Every temperature has been higher than average for the last 27 years. So we're just breaking records month after month, year after year.
That sucks.
According to the U.S. State of the Climate Report released Thursday by NOAA's National Climatic Data Center, 2012 was the warmest year on record in the contiguous U.S., lower 48 states, and records dating to 1895. Average temperature for the lower 48 states in 2012, 55.3 degrees Fahrenheit, bested the previous year, record year 1998, by a full degree, and was 3.2 degrees Fahrenheit above the long-term average in the 20th century. 19 states had a record warm year in 2012. Another 26 states had at least a top 10 warmest year in 2012. Every state in the lower 48 had at least above average warmth in 2012. Only Alaska was cooler than average in 2012.
Right.
But Al Gore is fat, so there, you know, this has all got to be a lie and a conspiracy. Now, at some point, we're going to take this crap seriously, but I don't know when that's going to be. I do think that I heard a rumor this week that the president's going to hold a summit on climate, which is only good news. That is definitely good news. Oh, and finally, speaking of good news, the Tea Party is dying. The Tea Party's support has fallen to a record low. According to a new Rasmussen poll released Monday, the Tea Party is less popular than it has ever been. Right? With only 30% of likely voters say they hold favorable views of the group.
That's because the rest died.
Nearly half have unfavorable views. This just plays to what I've been saying all along, that it's really not a huge segment of the electorate. They're particularly loud, and so it seems like there's a lot of them. And that was the fatal flaw, the big mistake that the Republicans made. They mistook loudness for size. And then they wrapped their arms around this freakish group and created a Frankenstein monster that they just cannot put back into the bottle or wherever Frankenstein goes. They can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Thank you for mixing your metaphors.
I was going down that road, and I'm thinking...
You can't put Frankenstein back in the tube or the genie up back on the bed where you electrify him. Or
hey, we've got a pretty big after party coming up tomorrow at noon Eastern, Friday noon Eastern. Subscribe at $6 a month, cancel at any time, and I fixed the damn button. For about a month, maybe a little longer, the button to subscribe to the after party has been broken. The link has been broken. For some reason, suddenly... any link that doesn't have www in it stopped working. So that was the problem. So now you can actually go ahead and subscribe. You can click the button and it works and it'll be easy and the whole process works. We're going to be talking about lots of movie stuff. Django Unchained, Zero Dark Thirty, Oscar nominations have come out. Oh my God. In a clip that I forgot to play last week, another goat that shouts like a man.
Oh, great.
And a little
Bob's,
bit of
Bob's life is complete.
Some amazing new technological advancements by way of video games and space travel. We can talk about that too. That'll be
beautiful.
That's all coming up on the after party. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. We'll see you next week, folks. Bye.
See ya.
In America, it is legal to carry around machine guns for children as young as 14 years old. Wicked! So that is why I have come to the HQ of the NRA, the National Rifle Organization. Check it.
Has anyone ever been killed by a gun?
Yes.
When?
I don't know.
So what is the one gun a month scheme?
One gun a month. That would, there, you know, there's a proposal, different proposals that would prohibit someone from purchasing more than one gun a month.
So that would only be like 10 a year or whatever?
12 or so.
Well, whatever. I mean, if that law came into place or whatever, and it was Christmas, and you wanted to get, like, your niece a gun or whatever, then a brother would be jealous if you ain't got him one as
That's
well.
That's a very good point.